On behalf of Council, I would like to acknowledge that this meeting is being held on the traditional lands of the Noongar people and pay respects to Elders past, present and emerging. I wish to acknowledge and respect local people's continuing culture and the contribution they make to country and its life. As the presiding member, I hereby give my permission for the administration to record proceedings of this meeting, and by being present at this meeting, members of the public consent to the possibility that their voice will be recorded. Welcome everyone to December's council meeting. We have apologies from Kevin Dalton. Everyone else is here, and thank you to the members of the public that are here this evening. There's been no use of the common seal. Delegated actions of performed are there for noting. There are no previous public questions taken on notice. Public question time. Has anyone got any questions? You stand up, state your name and the town of which you're from.
Sharon Williams, and I'm from Brookton.
Thank you.
I've had the same problem this month as what I had last month, that I went onto your website and filled in your form and posted a question, and I'm assuming you haven't got it again because you said there's been no prior questions.
No. I said there's been no questions from last month that we took on notice to answer this month.
Okay, so did you?
So your question is up there, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't need me to repeat it?
Well,
thanks for the...
For the public record, just read what your question is, please, Sharon.
I haven't got it word for word up there, but it's regarding the gazebo on Robinson Road, opposite the Bedford Arms Hotel. It was built some time ago and obviously must have meant something to the community because it's got a time capsule buried underneath it and it's got a park dedicated to local people. But as far as I can tell, no maintenance has been done to it. Paint is peeling, pieces are missing. I'm just wondering when the Shire will be doing maintenance on the gazebo. I did notify the Shire on the 18th of October through the SnapSend Solve app, but I haven't heard anything back and I haven't seen any maintenance done.
Sharon, I need to report that my staff went looking for a gazebo and they've gone to Memorial Park instead, where they found a gazebo that's for a shade shelter that was in a bit worse state than the one opposite Bedford Arms. So we completed some works there to repair that gazebo and that still needs more. So the gazebo in Pioneer Park certainly has some... has lost a couple of the finials on some of the ends, and they're still part of the steel where the finial fits on top. The finial's been vandalised and I expect is long gone. But we'll take out the remnants of what's there. Certainly the gazebo does need to be painted, and we'll include that as part of our budget consideration for next year. This year we've completed, or we're budgeted to complete, $88,000 worth of painting on 15 sites. So we are getting around, and the gazebo in the railway reserve opposite the Bedford Arms is one that we need to do in the future.
So you're looking at doing it in 2025, is that what you're saying?
25, 26. It'll go through the budget process for 25, 26 budget.
Okay. So yep. Not in the next six months?
No.
Okay. All right. Is it okay for me to ask some questions regarding the finances in the agenda tonight?
Yep.
Yeah. So my first one, and it's just so that I understand it better, on page 57 regarding APO valuers fair value project report for the railway station reserve, 4,180. I was just curious as to what that was.
Yes, I can answer that. So that was actually for two. So it was for a fair value. So when the reserve was transferred to us for the railway station, we have to bring the fair value into our books. And so to be able to do that, we need a fair value of that. So that $4,000 was for the railway station, but it was also for... there was another one. Sorry, I do have it down. So there was actually for two items. The fair value for the commercial land So we needed, we had to get a value of that as well. Yeah, yep. So there was two values in that $4,000. Yeah.
What is commercial land?
In our strategic resource plan or our long-term planning, we're looking at buying commercial or industrial land to develop.
Okay. Yeah. All right, sure. Thank you. So that probably answers my next one, which is on page 60, Bob Waddle and Associates, providing assistance with auditors' questions regarding the Rookdon Railway Station bare value. So that's to do with what you were just talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's just getting some advice about how we were treating that. Yeah.
Okay. And then could I just make a point, if I could, that that's quite an interesting thing that where council was told by our auditors 3 or 4 years ago that we had to take out of our asset record the railway station because we didn't control the land. So because we only leased it, it wasn't an asset of ours, so we had to take it out, and that caused some controversy. But now that we control the reserve, we're required to put it back in, and we need an asset value, a formal asset value to do that.
Can I have permission to sit down? I've got bad knees and I'm getting a lot of pain standing here. The next one was on page 64, WA Treasury Corp loan payment principal and interest 81 and 82 for $65,000. What is that regarding?
So they're current loans that the council hold, and so West Australian Treasury Corp is where we hold, they're the borrower. Or the provider of those loans. So.
Is it okay for me to know what those loans
are
for?
Yeah, so they are in.
One of them is a self supporting loan for the country club.
Yeah, I need to check. Yeah, they would be. Sorry, I'll just check exactly what they are. Sorry, it was 80 and 81, did you say?
Yes, 81 and 82, sorry.
81 and 82. So 81 is for the sport and recreation, which is the WB Eva Pavilion. And then the 82 is the self-supporting loan for the Bridging Country Club.
Before we move on, they're not mortgages over council, so they're just the benches where we borrow money. Yes, we've allocated them to a purpose, but at the point we spend that money, there's nothing, there's no hole. We're just repaying that debt.
Yeah, that's correct.
And just because I don't fully understand what's written in regard to the Brooklyn Railway Station, so my understanding, was that the motion that was passed at the special electors meeting was that that there was an independent committee to be formed to obtain and report to council independently costs to restore and form a subcommittee to recreate a proposal of use, not to use council staff. But that's not what I'm reading in the agenda, and I'm just wondering, am I not understanding it?
It was always going to be a committee of council, because it's a council facility. So it's a committee of council.
Oh, so you're saying because you've got management plan over it, the council has to have a committee
over it? It's a committee appointed by council, yes.
That also gives the committee, by making it a committee of council, gives the committee legal standing. That ties them to council as an entity. So if there wasn't that formal link to council under the Local Government Act, then the committee wouldn't have any standing.
I don't fully understand what you mean, the committee wouldn't have standing.
So you can't...
make a recommendation to council.
Well, they could make a recommendation to council still, but there isn't any... it doesn't have an incorporation. It doesn't have it's just a group of people coming together. So the committee of council has legal standing under the Local Government Act, a committee of council. So in the same way that council maintains an audit and risk committee, you maintain an employment committee, that those committees have legal standing. It gives them rights and,
okay.
And yeah.
So under those rights, in the way that you're explaining, is that committee able to go for grants other than what the Shire has already gone for? Is that...
Under the proposed terms of reference, no, it doesn't. But it would certainly have power to contribute. It would be able to contribute to those grants, those grant applications. Be able to review those grant applications prior to them being submitted.
Okay. Sorry, thank you for your answer. I don't have any more questions. I'm still struggling to understand it all. Yeah.
Thanks, Sharon. Anyone else? State your name and where you're from, please, Guy.
Guy Ted.
From Brookton.
Pardon?
From Brookton.
Yes, from Brookton.
Thank you.
I've only got a couple of questions. The first one, I did ask the question 8 or 9 months ago again, and I've asked quite a few times. Can anyone track down what happened to the $25,000 that was allocated for the cameras in the main street at a public meeting about 10 years ago?
Guy, I think we'll have another look, but my understanding is that $25,000 was the CRC had that funds. That was under the crime prevention program. Yes.
There was a public meeting in the town hall.
Yes, so that was run by the CRC at the time, and those funds were applied for by the CRC. That was at that point independently run by a community group.
I'm not sure, but...
You asked the question, I'm giving you the answer.
Yeah, yeah. And what was the Shire's role in that then?
There was no role for us.
Yeah, well, I disagree, but can we look into it again?
We can do, but that's... okay.
Could I...
Well, there would be a record of it, Katrina,
well,
so...
We'd have to go back through the CRC.
That's fine,
record.
But I've been asking this question for pretty a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep getting told I'll get an answer, but it's not forthcoming. And what you're telling me could be right, but it's only hearsay. So could I have some facts, please? There must be a paper trail of what happened to that money.
So there may very well be, but whether we have the old records of the CRC, I don't know. And
that's fine.
So the answer you may get is that.
Yes,
but
I want an answer,
or I'll keep coming
in another 2 years and ask the same question.
100%.
There's got to be a paper trail. Someone knows where this 25 grand is, and the community has the right to know, please.
Yep, 100%. Agree with
you. I'll leave it with you. I'm not in a rush. The next question was, Gary is aware of this, the ranger going onto people's properties. I'd like to make it clear the ranger doesn't have permission to go onto my property, but it just doesn't seem right. Farm biosecurity, trespassing, people like me and other farmers using firearms, they're just coming through your gate and driving in. So they either want to get shot or they want to spread weeds or just cause general havoc to the community. The ranger needs to at least give you some notice or ask or also leave a calling card. I'm always using firearms on my block, and if they're clowns and want to drive through the gate, end up with a bullet in his car.
So you're just making a statement, or you want us to answer?
Both.
Okay.
I'm asking the question, why do they just come straight onto your property
without
asking or letting you know that's fine, or leaving a business card in your gate to say they've been?
Yep.
So the ranger... this year, the Shire used the ranger to review the rural firebreaks.
That's fine.
And we also used them to review the townsite firebreaks.
Yep.
The ranger needs to get onto people's property to review firebreaks.
Yep.
There is a requirement for people of properties of a certain size that they have a firebreak around the perimeter of their property. To review those firebreaks, we need access to properties.
That's fine. But common courtesy should entail.
Mm-hmm. What we'll probably do is, and this year we've had considerable problems identifying all of our properties.
Yep.
And providing, because they're not every property, it's properties under 100 hectares, individual properties under 100 hectares, so we don't have a list of those, so we've had to prepare the list, which has delayed our inspection. Next year, what we will like now we've established our list, next year we'll let everybody know that on this day or this period, from Monday to Friday, we're going to be inspecting fire breaks, so expect to see people around. Given that we need to inspect lots of properties, and this year there's 400 odd properties in town and another 80 or 90 outside of town, having the ranger or whoever we choose to do that inspection, having them meet with every landowner just delays the inspection.
Yep.
And for most people, you're able to take a sample of their property. You know, if you come onto somebody's property and you're at the front gate, the fire breaks on both left and right sides are good and in good working order. Do you really need to go all the way around? Probably not. You know, we're making an assessment. Some properties where there isn't any fire breaks, we'll need to do more of an inspection, but for most of them, that sort of inspection is more than enough.
That'd be fine, say, from whatever day. But just to turn up, and I won't mention the fact that to take photos of the wrong property and to write the wrong person the letter, but you were very helpful sorting that out. Yeah.
So that was part of the problem.
Yeah.
We've had lots of communication, like you and I had.
Yep.
We've talked with lots of ratepayers about their requirement to do a fire break in the rural areas because we haven't enforced it for some considerable time. So we've been on a learning process, and certainly after talking with you, we're more informed about your property and where we go to.
You were very helpful. Thanks for that. But that was my point about biosecurity and, you know, use of firearms or whatever. Last question. I don't know what your thoughts are, but the election of the Shire President by the ratepayers and not by council, as like in most other towns in WA, it would mean that the Shire President nominates and stands. No disrespect, Katrina, it's just a general comment that I'm thinking of. And
did you want us to answer?
So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Do you want us to answer it? Do you want us to answer the question?
Oh, you can take it on notice or whatever. Well, there's obviously some legalities or something.
Yeah, so
involved.
It's the Local Government Act dictates at your particular size of your local government whether your mayor or shire president is popularly elected.
Yep.
And so in bands 3 and 4, correct me if I'm wrong, they're not popularly elected. So they're elected internally as opposed to by the people. So Narragans is elected by the people, so is Northern, but everyone in between is elected in the room.
So what you're saying, it's a population thing, is it?
Sort of.
Up to a certain, or down to a certain level it is. So local governments in WA are categorised into bands.
Yeah, okay.
So City of Perth, Band 1. So Band 1 and Band 2 councils, which by and large are either metropolitan or large city councils in the rural area, Albany, Bunbury, that sort of thing, they have to have a popularly elected mayor.
I know Carnarvon does,
because
I'm from there.
Yeah.
And I expect Carnarvon...
Only my thoughts were behind that. It might stop the purple circle stacking the votes, if that makes sense.
So it is...
Last question.
It is possible. It is possible for council to seek the minister approval to popularly elect the Shire President if the council so chooses. And if the community wanted to advocate for that, then that's definitely possible. I'm not aware of a Band 4 council. And Band 4 councils, they're the lowest level, but they're actually the largest, makes up more than half of all local governments in WA. I'm not aware of a Band 4 council that actually popularly elects their mayor. Or Shire President, and they're all Shire Presidents. But it is open for council to choose to do that. The issue around that is, and it's a balancing act, is that often, or it can happen, that the popularly elected mayor is out of step with the other councillors in the room, which causes issues, and if you were to look at, and where that gets out of step, there's often conflict on council, and if you wanted to have a look at the City of Perth or City of Melville, there's plenty of examples where that happens and it causes quite an expensive and reputation damaging fight, which gets you publicity for not good reasons.
We've probably just seen something similar with Perth and Basil Zemplis and the public infighting there last year.
Well, I think it goes back before Basil. Immediately before Basil came in with the new broom and swept
that. I'll be very quick on the last one. It's probably a follow-up from Sharon. You mentioned the budget for the gazebos and that in next year's budget. Well, that's 8 or 9 months or 7 months away. Does the Shire have a program with quarterly or six-monthly asset inspections on things like that around town? Or is there money allocated in every budget for maintenance? If that just needs a lick of paint and a tidy up, it seems silly to wait 7 or 8 months.
Part of our problem is getting a contractor to do that as well. So
that's true, yeah.
So we've had our painting scheduled now for some considerable time. They will be painting in the office during our Christmas
break. Don't you have anyone in the works crew that's like a general handyman?
We have a building maintenance officer.
Yeah.
But his job, while he does the minor level maintenance, if I was to tie him up doing longer jobs like that, they actually take longer. He's not a trained painter. We don't have all of the right equipment to get to the to the required heights.
Yep.
So it is just better and easier and quicker for us to use a professional contractor.
Fair enough.
And that's for painters, that's a 6 or 8 month lead time, and we've booked them up for this coming run.
Yep.
So yeah.
All right, thanks Gary, that was all. Thanks, Katrina.
Any other questions? If not, we'll keep moving along. Applications for leave of absence, councillors. Petitions, deputations and presentations. Anyone? No. Minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 21st of November. Can I get a move from second? Move Councillor Delaney, seconded Councillor Hayden. All those in favour? Carried. 7-0. Special meeting of electors from the 9th of December. Can I get a move and a seconder for those minutes, please? Move Councillor Cocking, seconded Councillor Bell. All those in favour? Carried. 7-0. Declarations of interests.
Can I just... I've been having a discussion with Councillor Wallace about proximity interests.
Yep.
And he's given me a document from the guidance document from the Department of Local Government, and if he was to turn to page 13 of the 34 pages, we're talking about a proximity interest. Andy, where there's a development application or a matter before council, you have that proximity interest, even though it is directly across a thoroughfare from the site that is of interest. So... Hang on. So proximity interest, for the benefit of the room, is an interest where the person who may have the interest owns property or leases property, and then council considers something that either adjoins their property, and in this case, across the other side of a road, technically is adjoining the property. So, hope that... So therefore, when we get to to interest, I believe that Councillor Wallace has an interest in matters relating to the railway reserve, because the Bedford Arms, which he has an interest in, is directly across the road from the reserve.
No worries.
I was trying to seek further clarification from the Department of Local Government, but they haven't got back to me.
Okay, first item on the agenda is 12-12-2401, disposal of property, lot 50, Corbetting Road. We have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder, please? Move Councillor Delaney, seconded Councillor McKay. Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried, 7-0. Okay, the next item on the agenda is 12/12/2402, the request for 3 dogs at lot 419, which is unit 130 Cumming Street, Brookden. We have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder? With Councillor McCabe, seconded Councillor Coppy.
Just have a question.
Sure, Councillor Donnelly.
I've just got some concerns regarding the community feedback, the letters that were received. And I just wanted to know through the chair if the CEO has any further comment with regards to those letters. And then there's, I believe that there's some changes coming with dog law legislation in the new year.
Absolutely, Councillor Diner. So there's a, under the state government's called it the Stop Puppy Farming legislation. So there's significant changes to the Dog Act about to be enacted. So from the second half of next year, we will, WA will have a centralised dog registration system. So at the moment, everybody is, every local government maintains their own system. We're about, it's all about to get rolled into one centralised system run by the state government. And then there's also going to be other changes. So any dog that is, if essentially what they're looking to do is to have dogs that are either unable to breed or are controlled in some way. So if you want to register a dog, it's going to need to be de-sexed by the age of 2, unless they're exempt, and there's some exemptions for that. And people who wish to breed for their dogs are going to need to apply for an approval to breed, whether or not, whether they're doing that breeding intentionally, which they're certainly entitled to if they have that approval, or if they unintentionally breed from that dog. So, yeah, that's, they will need to, the dog owner will need to get that approval to breed from the local government, and effectively that's going to become part of the licence for any unsexed, any dog that is not de-sexed, any unsterilised dog, is just going to become part of the exemption. So, or part of the process from here on in. There will be some exemptions. So, livestock working dogs will be exempt from that sterilisation. Similarly, dogs who have where there's a health impact if they were to be sterilised. And also dogs registered before the commencement of this new act. So if your dog's registered before the 1st of July next year or whenever it comes in, because we haven't been told a date yet. So if your dog's registered prior to that, then there won't be the requirement to have it sterilised. And the other way you can have an unsterilised dog is if you have this approval to breed. So that's where it's going from. Also, the registration periods are going to change as well. So for sterilised dogs, they're going to stay the same. So you can have an annual, a 3-year or a lifetime registration. But for unsterilised dogs, there's going to be an annual registration only. So there's going to be some changes.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Councillor.
Will that, do you know if that will be grandfathered or?
So any dog registered before the new, before the start date will be an exempt dog. So I didn't, if there's a dog owner who doesn't have their dog registered and they want it to remain unsterilised, then I'd advise them to register that dog. And they'll need to register it. Well, it'll have to be registered somewhere because all of those registrations are about to get rolled into one registration database. So, that won't be controlled by us. We'll be entering, our information will go into it. So all of our registered dogs will get sucked up. Those details will get input into the database, and those people who don't have a registration, whether it's here or anywhere else, just won't be input.
Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Against? Carried 6-1. Councillor Holmes is against. Next item is 12122403, proposed subdivision lot 5822 Lupton Road, Gerald Cabine. Councillors, we do have an extensive officer's recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder for that, please? Move Councillor McCabe, seconded Councillor Wallace. Does anyone have any questions?
Quick comment the officer's recommendation continues Council's position or the position taken in our local planning strategy that doesn't support the creation of additional lots in rural areas, particularly additional small lots in rural areas. So it's an ongoing position that's part of our local planning strategy, which dates back from 2014, I think it was adopted. Certainly the planning strategy does support subdivision that adjoins town or is close to the town of Brookton, but the unplanned breakdown of rural land is not part of the local planning strategy.
Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried. The next item on the agenda is 14122401, list of payments for November 24. We've got an officer's recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder, please? Move Councillor Bell, seconded Councillor Coppin. Anyone got any questions? Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried. Uh, 14122402, statement of financial activity for the period end 30th of November 24. Can I get a mover and a second for the officer's recommendation, please? Move Councillor DeLonga, seconded Councillor Bell, I think. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? All those in favour? Carried. The annual financial report and the audit report for 23-24. We have a recommendation from the Audit and Risk Committee meeting. So can I get a mover and a seconder? Move Councillor DeLong and second and Councillor McCabe.
Just wanted to make comment,
yep.
And just acknowledge Dee and her team for an exceptional result year on year again. So thank you very much for the definitely has Brookton in a very successful position financially.
Thanks, Councillor Dawson. Do I wish to speak against?
I'll just make, make another comment. In the last 12 months, our financial report from last financial year, from the 22-23, was recognised by the Auditor General for its high quality.
Yep.
So. The Audit Office of the Auditor General selected 20 local governments across WA, including city councils, and the Shire of Brookton was part of that.
Yeah.
So both based on the quality of the report, the timeliness of the report, the support that was provided by council and the process was recognised as outstanding in local government.
All those in favour? Carried, 7-0. The second recommendation is there, councillors. So can I get a mover and a seconder for the officer's recommendation? Move Councillor McCabe, seconded Councillor Wallace. Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried, 7-0. 14122404, request for a fee waiver from the Rural Health on behalf of the Curtin University Medical School. We have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder, please? Move to Councillor Coppin, seconded Councillor McCabe. Anyone wish to speak against? Councillor DeLonga.
I just thought that we'd previously spoken about the wavering of fees for our buildings in town. Because there are costs associated with cleaning and looking after these properties, and the more and more that we, and I understand and appreciate and value these organisations coming into our community and spending money in our community, but we have previously denied our own local groups for being able to have fees waived for events because of that. So I just think that we'd be going back on, you know, not our word, but our consensus that we still have to maintain these buildings, and we can't just keep giving them away for free. They're there for people to use, yes, but we also need to, you know, be able to have the funding ongoing to look after them, clean them, make sure they're ready for the next person to be able to use them.
Do you want to?
Yes,
yep.
I'll speak on behalf of that. So, yes, so we have the policy that we implemented guides officers to as to if they're eligible under that criteria. So on all accounts, they were eligible, and so hence we need to bring it to council for fund because we need absolute majority to be able to waive a fee. I guess as part of the recommendation, it was that they did demonstrate social cohesion, cultural enrichment and community wellbeing in those areas, and hence their item has come to council. So, you know, they visit local GPs, they visit, you know, the school, they come and talk to council. And I guess it's about promoting our town. Should one of those medical students think that Brookden is a great place to be able to come and practice once they finish their degree? So hence that was the reason for the recommendation.
Councillor Coffey has the mover of the motion. Did you want to?
I just thought that waiving the fees when we said that we wouldn't do it was mainly when the local organisations were making money from it as a fundraising venture.
Anyone else wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried 7-0. Uh, 15.12.24.01, policy 2.58, setting a reserve price for the sale of plant assets by auction. We have an officer's recommendation for a policy. Can I get a mover and a seconder, please? Move Councillor Hayden, seconder Councillor Bell. Councillor McKay.
What's changed? I couldn't find the historical document, and what I'm reading here looks like we've what we already do. So I'm just wondering, and what happened not that long ago, so...
Yeah, so to answer your question, Councillor McCabe, so this is, again, just a policy which guides officers. So currently we set our proceeds of sale as the as from our 10-year plant replacement program, which Council adopted as part of the budget process. This allows us to, it says... That's what we want to do. So our process going forward is definitely that. If there's no item in the budget to dispose of plant, then that needs to come back to council outside of the budget process. So we can't just go and sell an item of plant without council's approval. So
tidying it up.
Yeah, it's just tidying up that process.
Just from what I understand, it talks about if the reserve is below budget, then it comes to council, and that's exactly what happened last council. So
that's correct.
But we never had a policy before.
Right.
This is just formalising what they currently do. Is that right?
Yes.
So
yep.
If there wasn't a policy before, under what guidelines were we doing that?
I don't believe we sold much by auction before.
Yeah.
Certainly, the most recent sales by auction are they're the most. Yeah, I think they might be the only ones that, I've been a party to.
Yeah, so generally it's the heavy plant that will be disposed of by auction, and because it is quite advantageous, that auction process. And also we have to comply with the regulations as well around that.
And from memories, a lot of our assets have been trade-ins as well, in a certain respect as well, so we've been able to trade in and purchase.
Yep. Absolutely, we can. And sorry, I forget the section of the Act. But yeah, we're permitted to trading passenger vehicles up to a certain value, but we're not permitted to trade in heavy plant. So we can't get a trade-in price for a grader or a truck, for example. We can for a passenger vehicle, but not for a truck. So in that instance, we need to have a we either need to sell that by auction or by tender, and that's not really advantageous to us because we're not required to buy our trucks by tender, so we use the Walga purchasing service to do that. So we need to do a separate tender, and we can't get a trade-in price through that process, or we need to get an official value and advertise the sale of who we're selling it to. It just gets too complex. And at the moment, we've done relatively well out of the auction last week, so we exceeded our expectations. So the auction seems to be a good place, a good way to go.
Thanks, Dan. That answers my question.
That answers your question. Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried. 7-0. 15/12/2402, the Special Electors Meeting, Brookton Railway Station Committee Terms of Reference. Councillors, we do have an officer's recommendation.
I put an alternative motion.
Do you want to move something different? Or
yeah.
Do you, yes?
Well, I want to just make an amendment to it.
Well, you're going to move it, and you can move whatever you like. So you can move the officer's recommendation with added words.
Well, essentially, yeah, everything verbatim, with an additional column with some more guidelines around a budget, because I don't foresee anywhere in there a guideline for a budget.
That's because the terms of reference as they stand now would have the committee making recommendations to council about all matters, including budget, including process, including specification.
Not be advantageous to the community group to have a budget to work to, at least so that there's
but council will be setting a budget in line with that as well. The committee may even be informing council as to the budget you they require or and for what reason. They may come to council and say to do this we need this amount of money, or to do something else, we need a different amount of money.
Yeah, I can see that. I just can see that being a lot of back and forth, and it could potentially make things move faster if they did have a budget.
Or if council is to say, to give as part of your budget, of the council's budget process, that this is the amount of money that we're looking to spend on this project,
yep.
That would give the committee direction.
Well, my motion was to give them a budget and from there, if they wish to go and spend more than that, then they have the ability to look for additional funding from either the community or from grants.
Can we get back to the process? If Councillor McCabe's going to move that, can we move it and get a second there and then debate it?
I also need to talk about amendment.
Oh, okay,
as well,
sorry.
Do
you
the...
want to talk about that amendment first to the
other? Yep, you do your bit first and then
so,
we'll go back.
So... Thursday the 7th, I think, of December, the State Government has changed the Local Government Act, and in the terms of reference, I have the committee electing their own chairman, their own presiding member, but that is now no longer the case, and the presiding member and deputy presiding member need to be appointed by the local government, by the council. So what I would suggest is that in the terms of reference that council delete 5.5 and replace it with the presiding member and deputy presiding member to be appointed biannually by council, and then amend 5.6 to have council will appoint a presiding member and deputy presiding member who are not elected members of council. But there's no way around council not appointing that person.
Yeah, that's fine. Councillor McCabe. So what now? You're moving verbatim all of that?
Including the amendments which Gary's just mentioned.
Yep, and then dot point?
Four.
Yep.
The council allocate a budget. Given to the committee and all additional funding to be raised by grants or the committee or community. There is, but do you need it for?
Oh, that's up to you.
I'm happy to leave it as a budget, and I've got thoughts on that, but I'm happy to hear more people's thoughts, just my number.
So that's what you're moving?
Yeah.
Committee or community, sorry?
The community and the committee both can raise additional funds, either or both. Because from what I perceive the community's thoughts on the project, they're keen to have more community involved with it, and I think that's a fantastic opportunity to allow them to do so and not get highly being on the shy.
Is there
Does Councillor McCabe have a seconder for that?
No.
No, Mark's in. Does Councillor McCabe have a seconder for that?
Sam, can you scroll down, please, so we can catch up with it?
Sorry, it's delayed. So it's exactly the officer's recommendation, the dot point four. Thanks, Councillor Hayden. I'm going to foreshadow a motion, Councillor McCabe. I'm going to foreshadow the officer's recommendation. Thanks, Sandy. Councillor McCabe, do you want to speak for your motion, please?
As I communicated before, I think that having the length of time that the project has already taken and us having no progress for 5 years, I think that this has an opportunity to make things work faster. I'm not suggesting a small budget, I'm suggesting a reasonable size budget, and I'm happy for other people to give input. I just think that the community's anything that we can do to help speed up the process that was it is within reason. And the council's ability to do so, I think it's a proactive step. And I think that the more we can help this independent board get the wheels rolling faster, the better, and the more information they have. Like if you're trying to do a project and you don't have a budget to start with, I would never start a project of any kind without any kind of budget. So for the community board to fully understand where the Shire sits as far as what we're willing to back, if they don't have an idea, than the range of ideas that they could propose to council. If each time they bring a proposal to council and it gets pushed back, and then we come in another council meeting, it's pushed back because it's too expensive or not a decent enough job that the council is happy to put their name on it because it's too penny-pinching. I think that if they don't have any guidelines, then it's just going to drag out, and I see it as a real opportunity to do what I feel like everyone's afraid to do, put a number on what we're willing to spend, and I think that we should do that, because without doing that, it's just another bureaucracy to get council of people that don't have any direction.
Councillor Hayden, do you want to speak for it?
No.
I want to speak against. Councillor Bell?
I don't see the need for a budget to be set up and then be part of the process, to be quite honest. I think it's just making it just that little bit more complicated rather than easing it. But I may be wrong.
Councillor Donnelly?
I tend to agree with Councillor Bell. Like, we've had enough. We have had an extensive consultation period now. The community is well aware of the quotes that have risen, the tenders that have been received. So they're aware. They've also been part of the community consultation and discussions in the community about who wants to spend what amount, who doesn't want to spend which amount. I think there is a clear understanding of, well, to a certain extent, but it's still unclear as to what's too much, what's too, you know, what's not enough. So I think at this stage we should just be starting with the the committee of council, and then we can proceed from there. Council has some funding there in reserves. We just need to now see, you know, if there is local builders and people that can, you know, use their experience to see if they can save the Shire funds on this project, then I'm all ears. But I think at this stage we probably don't want to be throwing a budget figure to it just yet.
Anyone want to speak for it? No, you've already spoken. I agree. Council already has $1.5 million in this year's budget. There's no indication that that won't roll over in 25-26, so I don't think there's any need for 0.4. As the mover, you can close out the argument, Councillor McCabe.
Happy to be proven wrong. I just know that within the budget, within the pricing that has been presented to Shire with the tenders we've received so far, it has divided the community about whether it's value for money or not. So I don't think that you can say the community is in agreement on what value is worth spending on the railway station. And I think there is still a large range on what people think the council should be putting forward. Because I know people that think some small numbers, I know people that think some big numbers, and I'm happy to be proven wrong, but I just think it could be beneficial.
All those in favour of Councillor McCabe's motion? Those against? It's lost. 1-6. So, councillors, so that the item didn't fall away, I foreshadowed the officer's recommendation. So the officer's recommendation is as written without dot point four that Councillor McCabe proposed. So can I get a seconder for that? Thanks, Councillor DeLunya. I don't need to speak for it. I think enough has been said. All those in favour? Carried. 7-0. Officer's recommendation number two is that Council appoints its delegates to the Brookton Railway Station Committee under the terms of reference. Councillors, we need two councillors on that committee. I'm happy to do it by volunteering. Anyone want to volunteer? Can we defer it?
We can.
Cool. Can we lay this? I move that we lay this item on the table until our February.
Lay the appointment.
Appointment of the committee members on the table until the February meeting.
Given the updated to the requirements for council to nominate the other members as well.
I've included the request in that motion for staff to advertise in the community prospective committee members, but given that council's now adopted the terms of reference, that creates the need for the community, for the committee members, so I'm going to advertise that anyway.
Can I recommend that we get all the people in the community, the group, committee, sorry, elected at the same time, including councillors.
That'll be the case, but just for this item, we need to defer this until.
This is choosing the councillors.
Yes.
So can we choose the councillors at the same time?
It'll be a process because of the terms of reference.
Yeah.
Yep. So I don't want to necessarily deal. We don't need to deal with that because that's how that will roll.
Yeah.
I just need to deal with this officer's recommendation because we're not dealing with it. So I'm moving that we leave the appointment of the committee members until our February meeting. Can I get a seconder for that, please? Councillor Hayden. All those in favour? Carried. 7-0.
Councillor McKay, can I just outline the process?
So I
now expect to advertise prior to Christmas for prospective committee members, do that publicly through all of the publication options available to me, and I will require a written application just so that we have something in writing that you're wishing to be a committee member. I don't require that from council. Council can sort that out at their meeting themselves for the elected member positions, but something in writing from the members of the community, from I think we've included members of just members of the community, people with a building expertise, and an Indigenous representative. So we'll be advertising on that basis.
I wasn't missing against the motion.
No, the one before. It was unanimous, the one before, Sandy.
I was said I was happy to
approve. No, he voted, it was carried 7-0. Yep. So the foreshadowed motion was carried 7-0. Yep. Thanks. Okay, 15-12-2403, which is the lease of the portion of reserve 43158 or 14 White Street to Our Craft Collective. Councillors, we have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a move from the seconder? Move to Councillor Wallace. Seconded Councillor Bell. Any your question? Yeah.
The other half of the old bowling grounds, what's the who made that still under Shire
yes.
control essentially as
yep.
as per this lease agreement?
Yep.
Right.
Anyone, okay. Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried. 7-0. 15-12-2404, which is the lease, portion of reserve 4315 or 14 White Street to the Brookton Bandicoot Girl Guides. Are you moving it? Moved, Councillor Talunga. Seconded, Councillor Bell. Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried. 7-1. Am I going too quick? I'm watching everyone scroll.
My tabs aren't working. I don't know why.
That's right. Taking my cue from Councillor Kay. 15-12-2405, new draft, draft new policy for 4.14 monthly fuel measurement variances. We have an officer's recommendation.
Can I jump in on the recommendation
again? If you want, well, you can move something, yeah?
I'd like to move that it be a percentage as opposed to a number because of the volume variance on fuel usage by the Shire. I don't think that a flat number is appropriate. If you're doing a lot of roadworks and they're going through a heap of fuel, then I think
so we are talking about a tank of 15,000 litres.
So I'm suggesting 1.5% variance rather than a flat number of 100 litres, because
So I will just add that this was actually brought up in our Reg 17 review, which happened back in, April of last year. And we engaged AMD to complete that review, and that was their recommendation. So that's on the status report in the Ordinance Committee, and their recommendation was for us to adopt a policy that had a later-age variance.
Would that then need to be updated if we potentially change our fuel storage requirements on the depot? And I just see it as a percentage is an easier thing to set and forget as opposed to a flat number that might need to be revisited on occasions.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I think certainly for ease of implementing that process, certainly a literage is far easier for staff to be able to do that. So we do have the fuel cards that they use. This is generally from the tanks that they transport a lot of the fuel to jobs. And so that just goes from the tank to the small tank.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. I'm familiar with the sort of operations.
Yeah.
Move diesel around all the time. And overfill something or whatever, get it as an event. So yeah. I understand this variance, And the 1.5% I'm suggesting is very close to the 100 metres. I just think that it's, and I don't think that the hard to calculate reason is a very good one, sorry. I just think that it's pretty easy to work out what that percentage and have it on a sticker or whatever, or have people know what that number is. I just think that.
So you're moving that we go to 1.15?
1.5%.
1.5% instead of 100 litres in the policy.
Correct.
So Councillor McCabe's moving that.
Everything else in the policy the same.
Yeah. So the policy as is with the change of the percentage instead of the litres.
Correct.
Councillor McCabe, does Councillor McCabe have a second?
No.
I'll second it, just so we can have a vote, because I don't think that's terribly fair. So I'll second it. Councillor McCabe, do you need to talk to her anymore, or are you more than happy with what you're saying? All those in favour? Does anyone want to speak against?
I just think that we go by the recommendation, from the auditors, then, and I mean, that's... If we're following that guidance, we're good.
I'm going to foreshadow the officer's recommendations before we get caught with nothing on the table. Sorry?
Did you have more than the...
No, I'm comfortable with taking the advice from our background.
Do you have any... Councillor McCabe's mentioned 1.5%. That's significantly more than the 100 litres. Do we need to be less than 1.5%?
No, so we can choose the amount that we want the tolerance to be, so our variance to be. It's just that they've gone back on previous data, so... each month we reconcile our fuel, and so we've gone back on that data to see what sort of the average is or where it's been up and down and worked on that 100 litres.
Do you want to close it?
So when the tank's two-thirds full, that means the 100 litres is the 1.5%?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. No, that's 150 litres. I'm just mindful that that's... If that's larger than what you want it to be,
mm-hmm.
we can adjust that percentage. We can ask Councillor McCabe to adjust that percentage. Do you want it to be 1%, for example?
That's totally up to Council. Yeah.
Councillor Bell?
The reason for the 100 litres is as a trigger. It's an easy to see trigger. There's no maths involved. It's 100 litres. Yes, it's over. Let's investigate. Plain and simple, very easy to do. Once you start having percentages of this and that and the other, then someone has to look at it a little bit more closely, and the trigger may be missed. I think the trigger is leaders, and it should remain there for immediate future anyway.
Councillor McCabe, do you want to close out this point?
After Howard's good point, I'd like to withdraw the...
You want to withdraw your motion? Yep. So I've foreshadowed the officer's recommendation, so I'll move the officer's recommendation. Sandy's confused. Seconded Councillor Bell. I don't think we need to discuss this anymore. Does anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Karen.
Busy day tomorrow.
Yeah, there is. There aren't any elected member motions on which previous notice has been given. I need a mover and a seconder that we close the meeting to the public to consider the confidential items in the agenda. Can I get a mover and a seconder? Move, Councillor Bell. Seconder, Councillor DeLunga. All those in favour? Carried 7-0. Meeting closed to the public at 7:05 p.m. We request that you leave the meeting while we consider the confidential items, and you can return when we reopen the meeting.
Sorry. No, it's not going to be. It's going to be in the minutes anyway. Oh, no.
The announcement of that?
No, I just tell people that you don't want me.
But we've awarded them.
Yep.
Yep. Are they coming back in? If not...
It's only to close the meeting, Charlie Howard.
The recommendations from the confidential items are that we have awarded the Citizen of the Year for 2025 and that we have awarded the Community Event of the Year award.
Normally, we
don't announce the winner. I get to make a couple of phone calls and then it becomes public. So if you would indulge me, that would be fantastic. And the second item that we considered was that council authorised the negotiation strategy to offer to purchase property for the future development of industrial land. And the second part of that was that, Sandy, can you scroll back so I... Oh, the second part was that we would have a condition of sale that allows us future purchase of land.
Of adjoining land.
Of adjoining land.
If we wanted to buy a bit more.
Yep. There being no further business of the meeting, I'll declare the meeting closed at 7:12 p.m. Thanks, everyone. Have a really safe and Merry Christmas, and I look forward to seeing you all back in February. Best of luck, Lockie, with the end of January. Take this time to recharge people. It has been a really challenging year. And I thank you for sticking at it with me.